If you'd like to open your Bibles with us, we're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 30 will be where I start the lesson. I'm glad that you're here today. Hope that you have been encouraged and that the lesson will also be an encouragement to you. What's the first thing we do in troubled times? Blame everyone else and refuse to consider we might be at fault? Some folks just wilt in despair. Some call upon friends to bail them out, tell them all their problems. Some people pray. Some get angry and work harder to solve the problem themselves. Everyone has problems, but not everyone tries to cope with problems in the same way. What's the best way for a person who has faith? Well, David is revealed in Scripture as one who had more than his fair share of trouble in his life. He was pursued by King Saul, who was seeking to kill him. He barely escaped several assassination attempts. He had to spend a lot of time in the wilderness in hiding. He suffered the shame of his adultery, becoming public knowledge. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. His son Absalom killed his son Amnon. Absalom led a revolt to overthrow David's throne. Absalom was killed due to the revolt, which led to David's much heartache. And these are just some of the troubles in David's life. Read with me here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David was a man with many problems, yet he survived them all and remembered that he was a man after God's own heart. How did he maintain his faith? How did he even grow in his faith amidst the trials? Well, it says it right there at the end of the reading. David strengthened himself in the Lord. The context of the reading has David living in Ziklag. He had fled King Saul and was living amongst the Philistines. The Philistines were preparing to go to battle against Saul, so David and his men had joined with the Philistines. But they didn't trust David, and so they sent him and his men back to Ziklag. And David's trial was upon him. The town had been attacked and burned, and the women and children had been kidnapped, including David's family. And they were ready to kill David because of his absence. It was his fault that this had happened. His distress was extreme and his grief was great. He wept till he had no strength left, verse 5, along with the others. But he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 8 continues saying that David inquired of the Lord, asking, "Shall I pursue this band?" And then he obeyed God's word in recovering the people from the Amalekites. The New American Standard uses the phrase that he strengthened himself. The King James passage reads that he encouraged himself. And these two words, strengthened and encouraged, come from the same Hebrew root word. And that word means to be strong, to grow strong, to be courageous, to be firm, grow firm, or be resolute. When in distress, and I would argue depression, David was able to grow strong and resolute. This strength was in the Lord. How did David accomplish that? What did he do? Does Scripture reveal this for us? Because that stuff, that's some things that would help us a lot. One of the things that David did was that he wrote Psalms. And he wrote Psalms throughout his life that reveal a lot about his mindset that would strengthen him. When he was being pursued by King Saul, he wrote the 59th Psalm. Let's look there for just a moment. Psalm 59:5-9. And in the first four verses, Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him. And verse 1 of Psalm 59 says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord, for no guilt of mine. They run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see." And then down in verse 16, he says, "As for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness." One of the first things I want us to see that when David was in the midst of trial, he continued to praise God in the face of that trial. The praise of God was foremost, I'm convinced. He recounts in this psalm how God had been his stronghold and refuge in the past, and how God was his strength through this trial. To strengthen ourselves in the Lord, I believe, is to lean upon the Lord's strength. Look also at Psalm 56 for a moment. He was imprisoned in Gath when he wrote this psalm. And he says in verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me?" David trusted in God, not in himself, not in his friends. God was the one that he turned to. Now down in verse 9, he says, "Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" David's trust is well placed because God is for those who seek him. He is for those who love him. He is for those who obey him. Our trust in God enables us to face the most terrible trials without fear from man. That's because man can't do anything to us eternally. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. And that concept was true even under the old covenant. David understood that, and in times of trial, he trusted in God. Look with me again at Psalm number 3. The third psalm is written when David was fleeing from his son Absalom, who had accomplished a coup and had taken over the government. And David fled from the city. In Psalm 3 and verse 1, he says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me around about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. He calls the Lord his shield, who was all about him. God was his protector. David cried and God answered. Did you see that? The Lord sustained him. So again, there's no need for fear in the time of trial when you belong to the Lord. He will bless you. He will protect you. Care for you. Turn again in the Psalms to number 63 with me. When David is hiding in the wilderness of Judea, read with me in the first two verses. He says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. He had the right heart. His soul thirsts for God. His flesh yearns for God. But while he's hiding in the cave, in the heart of the trial, in a wilderness, he sees God in the sanctuary. He sees God's power. He sees God's glory. To be in the sanctuary would have been to worship God. Concepts of that. That God is in his place. God is ruling. A place of comfort and peace for David. In verse 3 of the psalm, he says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. He's in a cave being chased by Saul and his army. And what's he going to do? He's going to praise God. We want to lift up questions or requests. David strengthens himself with praise. And his soul was satisfied with praising God. It helped him. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. These are the kinds of things David is thinking about in the midst of the hard time. He meditates on God during the night. He's deep in thought about spiritual things. He has remembered how God has been his help in times past, recalling, I believe, specific moments, how God has helped him, and this strengthened him. Now I'd like us to turn to Psalm 42 as we consider how David has strengthened himself, and we're going to find some words that we often sing. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with a throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving and a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. David doesn't allow himself to, what we say, dive into depression, because he's thinking of these kinds of things. He doesn't let these things overwhelm him in his life that are troublesome and problematic because of the way he thinks about God. Like Psalm 63, he yearns and desires to be able to worship God and appear before him. In the times of trial, we sometimes fail to consider God and worship him, instead wallowing in the woe is me mindset. Job expresses a similar mindset to David in Job chapter 1 when he had lost everything, including all of his children. He says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his heart sought to praise God. In verse 4, David says, these things I remember. When in that darkest trial, we do well to remember the high points of worshiping God and being with God's people in worship. The voice of joy and thanksgiving that praises God. We would say this helps us to keep our perspective in that period of trial. Verse 5 truly describes the pit of despair and what our attitude should be. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. David didn't believe he was about to die, though he despaired. Even in death, if that were about to happen, it wouldn't be the end of praising God. God's very presence in the trial was worthy of praise. And David was not alone at this point, and neither are we when we're in the midst of trials. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Doesn't that sound exactly like what David is saying? We're supposed to have that same mindset, that same confidence, that same trust and hope in God. I will yet praise Him in the midst of difficult things. And Psalm 42, verses 6 through 8, contains figurative language, I believe, of the elements describing how David felt all the world was against him. Yet in verse 8, the Lord commands His loving kindness. He knew that God loved him. Comforted by the songs of God in the middle of the night, he prayed to God from the midst of trial. And in verses 9 and 10, again, he recounts the depth of trouble so that David questions himself, why am I saying God has forgotten me when God is my rock? You ever have those kind of conversations with yourself? Why do I despair? He tells himself. And verse 11 reiterates the truth. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. In all of these psalms, and in many more, David demonstrates his trust in God. We learn through this how to be strengthened in the Lord, how I can strengthen myself in the Lord. I need to trust Him. I need to stay close to Him. I need to praise Him. I need to pray to Him. With this trust in God, David was able to face and overcome the problems because the Lord helped him. So when we are in that moment of trial in our life, and they come at various times and in various ways, but when we're in that moment of trial, we have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because many people aren't going to know that I'm having a trial, and they're not going to come and strengthen me. I'm going to have to strengthen myself. Some trials are more fierce than others. Many are grieved by family troubles, marital problems, difficulties with children, difficulties with parents. Some are troubled with personal issues, such as temptations or physical illnesses, deaths of loved ones. Many trials come from outside influences that beat down on us with jobs and providing for families and fixing what's been broken. For many, the trial of joblessness is real. And what we try to do is tackle our problems on our own, right? We lean on our own understanding and labor very hard to fix all of our troubles. We don't turn to friends because our pride says we should be able to handle this alone. We leave God completely out of the picture. Sometimes we even forsake Him entirely, being consumed with the trial. We no longer praise Him. We no longer pray to Him. We choose to not assemble with the saints, thereby removing ourselves from the encouragement of the saints. And when approached, some will give answers for that kind of behavior. I've heard them tell me, let me get my life straightened out, and then I'll be able to serve God. That's not what David did in the cave. Some have told me, I can't do what God wants right now because I have to do what my family needs from me. I've even heard this statement, in a perfect world, I should be able to serve God, but this world isn't perfect and I don't have time. That's a type of reasoning we never see in David. In the midst of the problems is when he purposefully turns to God, not away from God. We cannot tackle our problems alone. We need God. God wants us to trust Him. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, Scripture says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. When I'm in a time of trial and problem, that's when I want God right next to me. Please. That means I have to draw to Him. I have to draw myself near to Him. This is how David strengthened himself in the Lord. He drew nearer to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Oh, but we want to bottle all that anxiety up in us. I got to solve this all myself. We've got it backwards. Cast our anxiety on God. Cast your cares on God. Let him be the source of your strength. This saying of the world is absolutely false. God helps those who help themselves. Totally false. It's not scripture at all. What is true is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's the truth. I see that there are two results that can be seen when we leave God out and try to solve our problems on our own. The first one, God's going to leave us to deal with that problem by ourselves. And we're not going to be able to solve it, or it might be solved with much effort. Do you really want to face trials without God? Times of trials when some people turn away. They give up. They get mad at God. Lots of things like that. A second result from leaving God out is that in an act of loving discipline, God may frustrate our efforts to solve the problem in order to cause us to turn back to him. Over and over, we see God doing that with the Israelites, to cause them to turn back by causing famines and disease and all kinds of things, foreign nations coming and occupying them, to cause them to turn back. Psalm 146 in verse 9 says, "The Lord thwarts the way of the wicked." And that word thwart means to make their way crooked and difficult. The King James says, "The way of the wicked he turneth upside down." That's what happens to me when I turn away from the Lord. He's going to make life difficult for me. I just thought things were bad. Job chapter 5 in verse 12 says that God frustrates the plotting of the shrewd so that their hands cannot attain success. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God does, what God allows. As we sometimes sing, without him, I can do nothing. That's absolutely the truth. God wants us to trust him so much, he has made a promise to you and I. In 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it." Trials are often a temptation to us, are they not? It's when we get weak in our faith. God says you can endure it. You can endure all of it, because he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. That doesn't mean that it's going to make it easier. But I have to strengthen myself in the Lord to endure it. God's love is real. Why do we despair? I think we do well to learn from David, who had so much experience in dealing with problems. In times of trouble, we need to look to the Lord for our strength. Times of trouble are not the time to shrink back. That's the time to grow in your faith. That's the time to turn to the Lord. Trust in the Lord and be steadfast in praising him and praying to him, and not forsaking the Lord, not forsaking the assembling of the saints. It's those who trust in God who are going to find strength and deliverance, and I believe happiness. So do we have faith like David? Do we trust in the Lord? Or do we trust in our own strength? Perhaps as a Christian, you see this is an area in which you need to repent. I hope that you would recognize that you have failed to trust and rely on God. Repent and seek His forgiveness and adopt an attitude like David that turned to God in the time of trial, that recognizes I need to be strengthened in my faith to endure this. If you've never obeyed the gospel, I would very politely and kindly say then you don't trust God. The heart of faith is about trusting in God, believing what God has said, that He's doing what is good for us. If we desire to be a child of God, to enjoy the spiritual and eternal blessings, we have to obey Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? Luke 6, verse 46. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 and following indicates that the Lord is going to come upon judgment upon those who have not obeyed the gospel. Truly, in regards to how a man is saved, we must trust in God's way and not lean on our own understanding. We must believe, we must repent of our sin, we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must be baptized for the remission of sin. Faith, as discussed in Scripture, is always an obedient belief. Do you have faith in God? Are you ready to obey Him? The lesson is yours. If you need to come forward, do so now as we stand and as we sing.